Welcome to the History of the Earth. I'm your host, Geologist Dick Gibson, taking you through 365 snapshots of Earth history in chronological order. First, a disclaimer. I think it's on the blog and in one or two of the early posts, but I think it's time to repeat that this journey through Earth history is not to scale, not at the proper proportion of geologic time. If it were, we'd be in the Precambrian until the middle of next November, and every day would pretty much be the same. Yeah, the algae and the bacteria are still hanging out, the continents moved a bit, not much more to report. So, rather than that, we have assigned each month to one geologic period, with January and December representing the entire Precambrian and Cenozoic eras, respectively. So, since it's March, that means we're in the Ordovician period of the Paleozoic era, and today, March 12th, we're going to talk about the Michigan Basin. The Michigan Basin is a bullseye on the lower peninsula of Michigan, a nearly circular target painted on the geologic map of North America. It's about 250 kilometers wide and 5 kilometers deep. Basins like the Michigan Basin are important because they often contain important resources, such as oil and natural gas, so understanding how the basins form help us explore for such resources. In some of the Ordovician rocks in the Michigan Basin, called the Prairie du Chien group, porosities are great enough to serve as natural gas reservoirs, and more than 5 billion cubic feet of natural gas has been produced from that part of the section. Not too shabby, but it's also not too much in the grand scheme of things. And in fact, in the United States today, we consume almost 100 billion cubic feet of natural gas every day. So that total historic production of 5 billion cubic feet from the Prairie du Chien of Michigan amounts to about 80 minutes worth of natural gas consumption today. We'll take it, though. And we will also talk more about the Michigan Basin next month in connection with its mineral resources. The problem with using our understanding of the Michigan Basin's history to explore for natural gas and oil and other resources is that we really aren't certain how the Michigan Basin formed. It's shaped like a big bowl, and clearly there was subsidence in the basin to allow for the 5 kilometers of sediment to fill it. And fill it they did. The layers of rock are thicker in the center than they are on the flanks. One possible mechanism for formation suggests that the Earth's crust or upper mantle was weaker or thinner or of different composition, so that broad stretching on a crustal scale might have allowed this area to sink more than others, becoming the bowl in which the sediments were deposited. It's a fact that a branch of the Mid-Continent Rift, the pull-apart zone that affected this region about 1.1 billion years ago, and that we talked about on January 26th, that zone is underneath the central part of Michigan. The Mid-Michigan Rift is what it's called here. But that zone was clearly a very long and linear feature, oriented north-south. I suppose it might have controlled the subsiding to some degree, but the Michigan Basin is somewhat oval-shaped, and the long axis is north-south. But honestly, it's really pretty close to a circle, and this seems to me to be a bit of a stretch in terms of an explanation. It's possible, and certainly there may have been some degree of impact on the whole process, but it's hard to see this as the one and only cause. Some mechanisms for formation here call on thermal subsidence as the basis for the Michigan Basin. In this scenario, a relatively small portion of the upper mantle cools more than adjacent areas, and when it cools, it contracts, it shrinks, and the smaller volume is also a physically lower place, a basin in which the sediments can be deposited. This is certainly a reasonable theoretical idea, but I'm not aware of any good solid physical evidence for it here in Michigan. You can also get subsidence of the crust when you have an upwelling of the mantle down below. It pretty much stretches the crust above the upwelling hot mantle, and the stretched crust forms a neck, kind of like when you pull silly putty apart, or partly apart. It stretches and thins and is not as thick and subsides. This almost certainly has happened. It did happen for sure in the Mississippi Salt Basin near the Gulf Coast, but there we actually have good geophysical evidence for that process, and we don't find that in Michigan. Also, because the basin is so symmetrical, so nearly circular, it has been suggested that it represents a huge impact crater. But beyond the circularity, and as I said, it's really slightly oval, not perfectly circular, there isn't really any evidence for an impact. So, back in 1990, geologist Paul Howell and his colleagues at the University of Michigan studied the sequences of sedimentation within the Michigan Basin in detail, and they found a good correlation in time between the depositional pulses and the tectonic events along the east coast of North America. I actually mentioned this idea in connection with the Cincinnati Arch the other day. The really good coincidence of several different mountain building events, collisions, on the East Coast with pulses of subsidence in Michigan suggests a causative relationship, and it does put the development of the Michigan Basin into a good, clear plate tectonic context, rather than often what had been used previously, that it was a simple isolated basin subsiding a lot, but not for any good obvious reason with a good clear mechanism. I do think that that idea is most likely that the basin is a reaction within the continent to big-time collisions happening a few hundred kilometers to the east. Push it down on the east coast, bulge it up at the Cincinnati Arch, and sag it down beyond that arch in the Michigan and Illinois basins. I don't think you can quite take it to the bank yet, that idea, but it is a concept that works pretty well with what we actually see in the rocks. I'll put a link on the blog at historyoftheearthcalendar.blogspot.com to the paper by Howell, which proposes this tectonic mechanism.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time as the Earth gets younger and younger.